Hey everyone, welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm glad you're here with me. I have so much to unpack with you today. If you didn't watch my last video, I want you to make sure you watch my last video and the link will be in the description. It'll help you get a more complete picture of what I'm going to be sharing with you today. But first, if you're interested in building legacy wealth with tax-free retirement that has death and living benefits, click the link in the description to set up an appointment with me to learn more. Our business owners, we help them save about 40% in benefits, and we can help them tether their top talent. We can help with employee retention and providing what the employers need that addresses the employees' wants. So click the link to learn more about that. If you are about natural health and want to boost your immune system naturally, essential oils are a great way to do that. So check the link below. Okay, like I said, I have so much to share with you today. So let me get into that. And it might be ended up being a part two. So we'll see how it goes. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to do a lot of pausing on this, but...
The communists declared that the racial differences among our people constituted the weakest and most vulnerable point in our social fabric. By constantly probing and straining at this one spot, they calculated that eventually the cloth could be torn apart and that Americans could be divided, weakened, and perhaps even set against each other in open combat. We mustn't kid ourselves into thinking that the communists have placed their agitators only into the black communities. They're working both sides of the street. They want hatred, violence, and bloodshed between the races, and they don't care how they get it or whom they use, even children if necessary. Here is a book that I
want to pause that right there because this is so important. I hope you're really getting this. Let's see, which video clip do I want to use? Let's use this one. I'm going to say that one actually. Let's see. Here we go.
I thought what you said was fascinating because you called it bull when you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up. Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I know. Hey, you and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it? Put your mind to what you want to do and go for that. It's kind of like religion to me. It's a good excuse for not getting there.
The individual who can do something that the world wants done, Washington said, will in the end make his way regardless of race. Washington distilled his philosophy into what became one of the most important speeches of the late 19th century, an address he delivered at the Atlanta Exposition in 1895. His theme was that blacks needed time to develop educationally and economically. Whites, Washington suggested, should help them in every way possible. This would be in the best interest of both races. He also emphasized that blacks needed to recognize that social equality would not come swiftly. It could not be forced through political action alone. The civil rights the Constitution promised would evolve naturally from black achievement. As he put it, no race that has anything to contribute to the markets of the world is long in any degree ostracized. When he ended his speech, the large audience, a mix of blacks and whites, broke out in loud and sustained cheering. W.E.B. Du Bois, a leading black intellectual, captured the sentiment. He wrote in the black newspaper, The New York Age, that Washington's speech might be the basis of a real settlement between whites and blacks in the South. Sadly, it was not to be. In the ensuing years, Southern whites put up more obstacles to black progress, not less. Among others, Dubois became increasingly impatient. A speech he had celebrated, he now belittled as the Atlanta Compromise. So which opinion was correct? Dubois' initial praise or his later criticism? Washington himself remained resolute. He was first, last, and always a pragmatist. He believed gradual improvements, improvements that blacks would earn through education, entrepreneurship, and personal responsibility, were the keys to black empowerment and ending racism. It wasn't fair, but it was reality. Today, in an America that is open to and accepting of all races, Washington's prescription for black success is more relevant than ever. That made him a great leader and a prophet.
Well, that's true. And the thing that we have to remember is we are getting played. We are getting played on both sides. If you are a person of African descent, you are getting played. We just saw in the video that they're using your race to be one of the obstacles or one of the things that ushers in communism. And so they want to tell you that you are nothing and that people are holding you back and you can't do anything about it. But that's not exactly true. I mean, look at what Morgan Freeman said. Look what he, I mean, you just set your mind to it. Let's listen again.
When you said people can't, you know, pull themselves up, do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot? Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. I don't. Hey, you and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it?
So race is a huge factor in how they try to control us, and they're trying to usher in communism. White people have been buying into the lie as well, that the racism is so strong that they can't help it. You know, I just don't understand why our elected officials aren't getting called out on their racist talk themselves when people are changing their election laws, when the states are changing their election laws, and they flat out say on TV, people of African descent don't know how to get an ID. They don't know how to go to DMV. They don't know how to run a computer. I'm like, that is the most racist thing I've ever heard. And no one's calling them out on that. But let's continue. Let's continue.
I think ought to be in every home library. It's entitled Color, Communism, and Common Sense by Manning Johnson. He joined the party as a young man because he honestly believed that the communists were trying to improve the conditions of his people. He was a dedicated communist, and eventually he rose to one of the highest ranks. But after many years, he discovered that instead they were merely planning to use his people in a bloody revolution to destroy America. And when he woke up to this, he dropped out of the party and devoted the rest of his life trying to alert his fellow citizens of all races to the true nature of the Communist Party as he knew it to be from the inside. Manning Johnson said, "Black rebellion was what Moscow wanted. Bloody racial conflict would split America. During the confusion, demoralization and panic would set in. Then finally the Reds say, workers stop work."
Okay, I need to pause this right here. Let's watch this clip from CNN, okay? Look, two people, similar, they look like they're the same race, okay? Shame on this lady right here. If you are of African descent, how can you be spewing this hatred and nonsense? Listen to this.
You want to talk to me? Do you want to talk to me? Okay, cool. Don't take my mic, but we're cool. Okay. What's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right, so tell me what you think about what's going on.
What I think about this is all the press and all the extra shit y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes. When people want to protest, they shouldn't do it in front of a fucking police, courthouse, shit like that. You get what the fuck I'm saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
do. Of what?
Of anything that can hit you. Of anything that can hit you. Look at all the stuff.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it look like I'm scared?
You don't. You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media shit.
Okay.
Real shit.
You don't know me, but we're going to get to know each other. That's
you're
what we're going
to know each other.
Yes,
huh?
We are.
Let's
we
see.
Are. We are.
How you going to know me?
You're going to talk. I'm going to share a number with you. All right, let's do it.
No, let's do it right
here. Let's do it. All right, here's my phone. Let's go ahead and share me a number.
Talk about something that's real.
Tell me what's real.
Y'all just going to edit out the shit that y'all
don't know.
We're
live.
And then y'all going to edit out some other shit.
Did you just hear that? You all are just going to edit out the stuff. He is calling them out. This is what the Communist Party wants to do. They want to take down America. They use the TV to do it. And shame on her. Shame on her for propagating this race thing. Shame on her. Anyone who is of African descent and you're propagating this lie, shame on you. It's part of the playbook.
And then y'all gonna edit out some other shit.
We're live right
now. You're not fucking live.
I'm live right now.
I don't care if you live or not.
Okay,
get away from here with all that media shit that y'all doing.
Right now.
Look.
We're with CNN.
Then take that camera all the way the fuck up there.
We are going up there.
Take it all the way the fuck up there. Y'all doing all the extra shit for the backhand shit to make people look all crazier than what the fuck they are.
All right, then you watch us because that's where we're going. All right, so everybody's got a hot head right now, as you might imagine, because...
A hot head? It's because you're lying to the American people. You're creating chaos where there's no chaos. This is allowed to set fires and destroy cities. And hot head... Oh, excuse me. Excuse me, CNN.
I think it speaks to...
Excuse me, CNN. Let's continue.
Putin seize arms by attacking arsenals. Street fights become frequent. Under the leadership of the Communist Party... The workers organize revolutionary committees to be in command of the uprising. Armed workers seize the principal government offices, invade the residences of the president and his cabinet members, arrest them, declare the old regime abolished, establish their own power. Now, here is a piece of vicious communist propaganda that perhaps some of you have seen. It's called The Crusader. It's written by Robert F. Williams, one of the organizers of the Revolutionary Action Movement. In this issue of The Crusader, the communists call not only for extensive chaos within the cities, but for putting to the torch every village, every forest, every field, and every barn. The plan is for raging fires from one city to the next. The reason? Well, first, there's the value of sheer destruction. Secondly, it would force us to deploy...
Okay, the sheer destruction. If you go back to the playbook that I talked about last time in my last video, you're going to understand why that is so critical, because you have to completely dismantle an organization or a system or a country to rebuild it. So that was very important what he just said, but you have to go back to my last video to really get a good grip of that.
Our defenses and rescue units over the widest possible area. The communists point out that as long as our police and National Guard remain concentrated, they're invincible. But if they can be forced to spread out over the entire city and into the countryside as well, then they can be picked off from ambush one by one.
These people, listen to what he's just said. Police and National Guard, they are the people's protection, okay? The people's protection. Now, what's been happening in the media is the narrative cops hate black people, so they go out on purpose and try and shoot and kill them. And then what does that do? It puts fear in the police officers not to arrest criminals to protect you and I, because they're going to be thrown into prison. So let's watch some of this right here. Oops.
Say that because black people in most cases, in many cases, were descendants of slaves, that racism as an institution, that it just, a certain amount of it just exists.
2015? Give me the most blatant racist example you can come up with right now.
I think you could probably find evidence that in general, cops are more willing to shoot if the perpetrator is black.
What's your data?
Than white.
What's your basis for saying that? Last year...
Well, look, I know a lot of people would say, look what's going on in Chicago.
I know what they would say. Yeah. I'm talking about what the facts are. 965 people were shot by cops last year and killed. 4% of them were white cops shooting unarmed blacks. In Chicago in 2011, 21 people were shot and killed by cops. In 2015, there were 7. In Chicago, which is a third black, a third white, and a third Hispanic, 70% of the homicides are black on black. About 40 per month, almost 500 per year last year in Chicago, and 75% of them are unsolved. Where is the Black Lives Matter on that? The idea that a racist white cop shooting unarmed black people is a peril to black people is BS. It's complete and total BS. And the reason for these so-called activists saying this is the assumption that racism remains a major problem in America. The media, CNN, especially MSNBC, runs down whenever a black cop shoots somebody, and it's a, some march on Washington. It's ridiculous. Black people, half the homicides in this country are committed by and against black people. Last year, there were 14,000 homicides, not talking about suicides. I'm talking about homicides. Mm-hmm. Half of them were black, 96% of them black on black of that 7,000. Where's a Black Lives Matter people on that?
So that, there's where you would say that this is purely because of social justice. This is purely because they want ultimately for people to be angry enough to just keep voting Democrat.
That's hello, right. And did you just hear him, what he just said? What did he just say? And what did my video just show you about the communist playbook? People, we got to wake up. We got to be smarter than this. These are the tactics they're using against you and I.
Justice. This is purely because they want ultimately for people to be angry enough to just keep voting Democrat.
That's right. And where's the evidence of a lack of social justice? When a black suspect is killed by a cop, believe me, the media is on it. People are watching it, and justice will for the most part occur. In Baltimore, where Freddie Gray was killed, Freddie Gray died in a van. I shouldn't say was killed. Died in a van.
Yeah.
You have a city that's 45% black. City council is 100% Democrat. The majority of city council is black. The top cop at the time was black. The number two cop was black. The majority of the command staff is black. The mayor is black. The AG is black. And yet here we are talking about racism. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
So it's funny. I find myself caught in between this a little bit as a liberal where I want to always try to defend the other. So in this case, the other being black people, I'm always sympathetic to that.
See,
that,
this is where white people get caught up. We want to be sympathetic because we don't want to be racist. But the truth of the matter is, this is a lie propagated by people trying to turn us against each other and people trying to bring in the communist regime using people of African descent. Okay. And in the video, it said played on both sides of the street.
Yeah, and at the same time, I hear you laying out a pretty solid case.
Well, these are just the facts. I'll tell you something else, too. There was just a study, University of Washington, and it turns out cops were more reluctant, more hesitant to pull the trigger against a black suspect than a white suspect, probably because of the fear of being accused of racially profiling and the fear that the civil rights establishment was going to come down on him. So,
Did you just hear that?
Reluctant, more hesitant to pull the trigger against a black suspect than a white suspect, probably because of the fear of being accused of racially profiling and the fear that the civil rights establishment was going to come down on him. So if anything, whites are more likely to be shot by a cop under certain circumstances than a black person. And in the last 30 or 40 years, the percentage of suspects killed by cops who are black has declined 75%. However, the percentage of whites killed by cops has flatlined.
Yeah.
And so if anything, people are more concerned about shooting black people for fear that they're going to be called racist. And almost every one of these incidents, whether it's Eric Garner in New York, who died because he was selling Lucy's and resisted arrest, whether it's Tamir Rice in Cleveland, who was twirling around the gun, whether it's Michael Brown in Ferguson, who had just committed an strong-arm robbery, almost every one of these incidents involved somebody resisting arrest. Why don't you just do what the police tell you? My dad said, when I get pulled over, have my hand at 10 o'clock, have my hand at 2 o'clock, say yes, sir, say no, sir, make sure my paperwork is in order. And if I feel the cop is mistreating me, get a badge number and deal with it later on. If Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Obama and the whole group of them told black people to do that, we'd have a lot fewer of these things to deal with in the first place.
Yeah. All right. So I'm with you. I'm hearing a lot of what you're saying here. So as a black conservative then, who now you've laid out your case there.
But you haven't laid out yours. I asked you to name the most important example of racism, and you gave white cops going after black people. And I told you, gave you the facts for that. So that's nonsense. So you must have something else. What else is it? If you think racism remains a problem in America, give it to me.
Well, I think it remains a problem. It may not be systemic in that it's not like you're not being hired because you're black. There's no systemic reason, legal reason that exists, that kind of thing. But I think that racism as a general theory exists.
I need some specifics. You gave me the white cop thing. What else? Give me another example where you think is a problem.
Well, as a black conservative, tell me how do you get people to come around?
You're the one who made the assertion that you think racism remains a major problem in America. I asked you to give me an example. You gave me white cops going after blacks. As far as I'm concerned, you didn't hold it up very well. What's the other argument you have? What's the other thing?
Well, I don't know that it's systemic in the sort of macro sense.
I'm not mad. I just want to know what it is you're talking
about. Believe me, that's 100% what I wanted to have you.
Blacks are not getting into school. BS. We have a race. We have affirmative action. So a black person with an SAT and a GPA of X will get into a school faster and easier than a white person with an SAT or a GPA of X. And if going to school is a route to the middle class, you can make an argument that blacks have an easier route to the middle class. If you're talking about poverty, the poorer you are, the more accessible loans and grants are for you. The biggest burden that black people have, in my opinion, again, is the percentage of blacks, 75% of them, that are raised without fathers.
Bingo!
And that has every other social negative consequence connected to it. Crime, not being able to compete economically in the country, being more likely to be arrested, that's the number one problem facing the black community. And when I hear people tell me about systemic racism or unconscious racism, I always say, give me an example, and almost nobody can do it.
Okay, bingo, right there. I studied sociology in school on top of broadcasting, and my sociology professor said, when the family unit falls apart, society falls apart. Now, yes, the fatherless community has happened in the black community very heavily, but also across the nation, across the board, across races, across different ethnic communities, we are growing up in homes where there is no father in the home. As a lot of it is single moms raising kids. We need both parents in the home. And bingo, that's exactly what he said. A lot of our social issues today are not because of racism. It's because there's not the lack of families together. The dads are gone. Okay, let's see about this.
Yeah, got a new show for y'all. Got a damn good show. Yeah. Y'all know what's wrong with this country? Tell them, Key. Tell them what's wrong with this country, man. Thanks for your permission. Y'all know what's wrong with this country? The left is always pushing this perception like this country is just horrible for black people, that this country is systemically racist.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with this country.
Well, I think it's just black people can't think for themselves. They let white liberals control how they think. Just say Democrats, because there's some stupid black liberals out there, too.
What?
You said white liberals. There's some stupid black liberals out there.
Like the white liberals prop up these black liberals because black people give other black people more respect when it comes to politics.
Uh-huh.
But the white liberals put these black liberals in front of them. And these black liberals are pushing them but these white liberal talking points.
Yeah. That's what I said.
That's exactly what I said, but you took a whole lot longer to explain it. Black people can't think for themselves. White liberals control how they think.
Well, they can think for themselves. They just
No, they can't. They can't think for themselves.
Yeah, they can. We
You're
black.
Too
you
nice.
Forgot we black?
We ain't liberal. We conservative. Totally different branch of
We talking about two different species, man.
Well, the black liberal tends to think with their skin color.
Yeah.
Let's pass forward this a
Trevor
little bit.
Trevor Noah.
Yeah.
They say, what's this show called?
The Daily Social Distancing Show with Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
Which is very interesting how he put that, because that's not Trevor Noah's show.
Yeah.
Some white liberals writing all them jokes.
Yeah. He's reading. Everything he says is coming from a teleprompter. It's not.
Yeah.
It's like us. When we cut on camera, this shit is live.
Yeah, this is us.
Ain't nobody writing this.
This is how I feel. This is what I think.
Yeah.
It's you like, look at all these Hollywood shows with these black liberals running it. They are being told what to say. They have a teleprompter in front of him.
Yeah. So, before I go any further, check out the sheer stupidity. This dude is willing to say on his show after somebody wrote it down and put on a teleprompter.
I think it's kind of funny, really. He's just scaring people. And people are just...
And I don't know if my white viewers know about this. I mean, maybe it's one of those things that black people do that you've never heard of before. Man. You know, like laying edges or putting plastic bags on your Jordans when it rains. But believe me,
what?
Every black family knows what the talk is.
Never heard of it.
We call it the talk, a discussion black parents have had with their children for generations.
A conversation that you and I have to have, that it is tantamount to their survival.
At some point, you will get pulled over.
No shit.
And here is how you act.
Put your hands on the steering
wheel. He was going to say windshield.
Make sure the lights are on.
Don't do anything without police permission. Ask before you get your registration.
That's common sense.
Don't question and challenge the police officers like everybody
Damn
else.
Dumbass!
You guys just have to be a little wiser in terms of how you communicate.
Take your mask off.
And not agitate the situation anymore than it is.
Stupid.
Submit, obey, come home. The talk will always happen in black households.
What? That's right. Police violence is such a threat that somehow the most uncomfortable talk you have to have with your kids is the one where you don't use the word semen.
What?
So, we know that black people know what's at stake.
Okay, and I'm going to fast forward a little bit.
Been living in the United States my entire life. I've had hundreds of interactions with police, and each and every one of them was because of what I did.
Yeah.
Not because I was black.
Yeah.
And each and every encounter I had with police, even though some of them were assholes,
yeah,
they somewhat treated me with respect. I mean, and I was never humiliated. I was never.
I've never called a boy. I've never been handcuffed and sat down on the side of the street just for a traffic violation because I always followed their commands and I followed their directions.
So it's like, he makes these jokes about the talk and how white people don't have to have this talk. Yeah, they don't have this talk because it's common sense. It's like drinking from the toilet. It's common sense. You don't need that talk.
He's right. It's common sense. White people do the same thing. Everyone does the same thing. I have my hand on the wheel, too. I follow the orders of the police officer, just like Larry Elder said, you know, you could take their badge number down and talk about it later with them. If there's, you know, anything that went wrong, it's just common sense.
Yeah, white people don't need this conversation because it goes without saying it's in your damn DMV handbook. When you get pulled over by the cops, show the cops some respect. Follow their commands. Yeah. Follow their directions. That's in the DMV handbook. And it's just common sense. A little respect goes a long way, especially for a police officer who's been pulling. A police officer's job can be very negative. Just pulling people over all day and just writing tickets and getting. I mean, it's just, it could be very hard on a police officer. So when a police officer pulls you over, if you just show him a little respect, a little courtesy, because he's just doing his job. You're the one that was speeding. It was you who was breaking the law.
Yeah.
He's just doing his job.
Or and their job is dangerous. They have no idea who you are for the most part. And it's like, let me say this. It's like, okay, majority of these incidents that's been in the news, if they would have followed the talk,
yeah,
they would be still alive today.
Yeah.
99.9% of them.
You guys are really admitting if you would follow the cops' commands and follow their directions, this conversation wouldn't even be needed.
Yeah, so you're kind of telling on yourself.
Yeah.
These people are not being killed because they're black. They're not being hunted down because they're black. They're getting killed because they're putting themselves and the officers' lives at risk.
Yeah.
That's why these things are happening.
That's why these things are happening. Let's go back to our video.
And the third value of massive fire to the communists is psychological. The average American may say, soft and decadent, when he sees billows of black smoke rising from one horizon to the other, when at night the only light he has to see by is the flickering red from flames leaping into the sky, he'll become paralyzed with fear and panic. He'll run away and hide and do nothing to interfere with the guerrilla bands as they strike at the community's power centers. The Crusader explains how to set up sniper units in crowded metropolitan areas.
Okay, I want to pause this because I want to go back a little bit. The Hodge twin said, take off your mask, okay? The mask thing is so psychological. Has Dr. Fauci ever once showed you the scientific study of the mask efficacy? He has not. He says, follow the science, but he doesn't show you the science. He doesn't prove the science. Anyone who has come against, there was at least two studies done in 2020, and no one was allowed to share them on social media. They got blocked, they got banned, they got taken off. Not one news station, except on like some talk radio stations, talked about these studies and showed that the mask have zero efficacy. But let's talk about Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube and all them. They have taken away free speech from people. Whether you agree with them saying like, I'm glad they took them off because I don't agree with those people's talk. That's very dangerous because that could come around on you. If you take speech away from anybody, that can be, your speech can be taken away from. So Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube constantly takes people's videos down, takes them off of their platform altogether. But let's think about the psychological effects of masks. Now, if you go back to my last video, it talks about the tyrants and what is one of the tactics tyrants use. They make sure people are unknown to one another. Half your face is covered and people can't see your whole face when you're wearing a mask. The other thing it does is we're talking about free speech, okay? Because communism doesn't allow for any freedoms whatsoever. So what have these people done with the mass shootings that we just heard about? They go after your gun rights, okay? There's been a lot of mass shootings lately with Antifa and them blowing up and causing things on fire. It caused a lot of unrest in the city. But they go after your guns because they set up. Did you hear this? They set up sniper shootings. Okay. This is all set up. People, wake up. We are getting played. But the other thing is that mask is a symbolism for you have no more freedom. Your mouth is covered now. Okay. Your mouth is covered.
How to manufacture jumbo Molotov cocktails, the gallon jug size. And how to mix the gasoline with certain ingredients to make it burn like napalm.
Let me take you back to this video.
Right now.
Look at this. We're with CNN. Look at this.
And take that camera all the way the fuck up there.
We are going up.
How to pour gasoline into utility manholes in the streets to set fire to the main telephone cables. How to put sulfur tips from matches into air conditioning units and blow up large buildings. How to ignite gas mains and oil storage tanks. It explains how radio-controlled model airplanes can be used to fly explosive charges over heavily guarded fences into gasoline storage areas or munition stockpiles. It even calls for infiltration into the National Guard units, revolutionaries posing as non-militants for the purpose of getting free military training and for gaining access to critical military supplies and heavy weapons. And then, finally, Robert Williams says this. Any all-out minority revolution must create a state of crisis wherein almost all of the male population would be forced to remain in their homes to protect their property and families. The middle class is very large.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But all of us were homebound during COVID and we had massive government takeover. So keep that in mind.
But it is not accustomed to deprivation and terror. Because of its affluence, it has waxed soft. It has no stomach for massive fire, blood, and violence. The motive force behind its life drive is its endless pursuit of prestige, conspicuous consumption, and sensual pleasure. A few years of violent, sporadic, and highly destructive uprisings will set the stage for the grand finale. After the stage is properly set through protracted struggle, America could be brought to her knees in 90 days of highly organized, fierce fighting, sabotage, and massive firestorm. Ladies and gentlemen, the plans and preparations for a communist revolution of force and violence are far advanced. The organization behind these preparations has almost unlimited financial resources, and it provides both training and leadership based upon years of experience in many other countries. Our enemies are deadly serious about their task, and it's nothing short of national suicide for us to continue to ignore their plans and their progress. The violent revolution becomes of primary value to the communists to the extent to which it can be used to condition the masses psychologically to accept the non-violent revolution which is offered supposedly as the only alternative. Hoping to avoid further violence and bloodshed, the public is to be pressured into accepting measures that will move the country gradually and legally toward communism, but without calling it that. The strategy of the proletarian revolution calls for the quiet conversion of our government into a communist regime, but under the banner of socialism. Well, what is socialism? All right, let's define it. According to the dictionary, socialism is a political concept based upon the principle of government ownership and control of property, the means of production, and the avenues of commerce.
Okay, let's pause this right here. COVID-19 stopped everything. The only businesses allowed to operate were the ones the government said were allowed to operate. What we have forgotten is the government is the consent of the governed. We flipped the script, and we've been conditioned to flip the script for decades. We are in control, not them. We should never have said to them, okay, we'll close shop. We'll listen to what you say. We'll cover our masks, our face. We won't see each other. You know, I mean, all the things that they've been telling us to do is part of this whole thing. Why can't you guys see it? They are controlling everything. Your business is your personal property. It has nothing to do with the government. We are supposed to be in a capitalistic society with free and fair markets. We have not had free and fair markets. I'm sorry.
Those who run the government and the communists are confident that in America, they eventually will be the ones who do so. Those who run the government will know who is to get something and who has to wait. And that represents control over human beings. What has all this to do with the communist revolution in America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it has everything to do with it because the building of socialism is the communist revolution in America. It represents the process whereby our country can be moved gradually toward communism without the people even being aware of it. No matter what grievance we may have, real or imagined, no matter what national problems we may face, the communists seize upon these as excuses to build socialism. They have one and only one solution for all problems. More government, and then more and more until it's total government. And forgive me for saying it one more time. Total government is communism.
Let me play
early
a
of
clip.
1928,
Let me play
the communists
clip for
declared
you.
That the...
from a man who grew up in Cuba. I had no idea it was this bad. I mean, I knew it's not great in Cuba, and I knew everyone was poor, but I didn't know it was this bad.
My name is Ray, and I escaped socialism in Cuba, windsurfing across the ocean for 10 hours. If socialism were that good, do you think all these people were re-escaping Cuba? Socialism ruins people's life. I can't believe there's Americans that want that for us here. This is the thing, socialism looks beautiful in a book. And it might taste even good in the first year or so when you're implementing it, but then things start rotting. This memory scored my brain. My mom breaking down furniture to make fire.
We
were destroying our own furniture to boil potatoes. In Cuba, eating a lobster is illegal. You go diving, you grab one lobster, you can get 6 years in jail. But the government gets them by boats, by tons. All the policemen in Cuba will live way better than us. All the government, not even mentioned that, way better. The elite live in a bubble. That's socialism for you. One day I got enough, grabbed my windsurfing equipment, went to a very isolated side of the city with a straight shot to the ocean, away from the bay, and I took off. And I remember reaching the conclusion, and this is a messed up part that you, if you want socialism, you should wonder about this. You should wonder why I reached the conclusion that dying there would be even better than ever be by. I'd reached the conclusion that I would take the decision to put my head under the water and take 3 deep breaths of water, and I would die drowning with a big smile on my face because I knew I was free. This is the first time in my life I was free. I get picked up at the Coast Guard boat, I get sent back to Cuba, and I get my paperwork from the U.S. Embassy, interest section, and it took me 3 years of processing the case, exchanging mail, going to the capital in Havana and submitting my paperwork. September 2007, I came to the U.S. as a political refugee. Keep in mind, this is my first flight ever. I've never been on a plane before. And here I am. By the time the plane is approaching New York City, it is a night already. It's dark. Seeing that, I was amazing, very impressive. So that very first day in 2007, after landing in New York, my friends took me to this restaurant. And you have to keep in mind, beef is also illegal in Cuba. An eatable item, illegal. And I'm sitting there, and I'm having in front of me this maybe a pound and a half cheeseburger with another humongous side of fries on the side. And I can't avoid, it's a mix of feelings, because I'm feeling grateful that I'm here, able to eat a piece of meat. And at the same time, I feel guilt because people are going to prison for that. And my family can't even eat that. I'm sitting there sending away half of the plate because I can't finish it. And up to this point today, I think I'm going to kill myself about stuffing food down my throat because I cannot send food back to the trash. I refuse to do that. And that's my fight all the time with my kids today. That's another thing that I'm afraid of and scared of, that they're going to grow up, yeah, with the stories, but it's not going to be the same, that living it, of how lucky they are of being here, something that simple as a piece of meat. In other places, in a socialist place, it will get you to jail. Now we are here, and these liberals are trying to feed us down the throat. And Bernie Sanders, a freaking guy, a guy that's friend with the Castro, and talking beautiful things about the Cuban system. I was there. I sucked that up. Why Bernie Sanders failed to tell you that the Cuban, you can go to prison in Cuba for eating something? That how? I don't like hands out. So I always wanted to be a part of the service. And I went to the army. I enlisted in 2010, and I got the opportunity to serve a year in Afghanistan. I owe my life and my kids' life and the future that they can have to this nation. And that's where I went in service, to feel and be able to tell anybody that can challenge that around me that I earned it. Nobody gave me anything. I earned it. I earned my right to vote, I earned my right to speak, and I earned my right to tell you right now why socialism sucks.
I hope you were able to understand what he said. He had a very heavy accent, but this is where we're going with our nation, where the government's going to tell us what we can and cannot eat, what we can and cannot do. We got a taste of that in 2020. And honestly, the script is backwards. It's us telling the government what they can and cannot do, not what we can and cannot do. So if you're okay with never having lobster again, never being able to eat a piece of steak again, burning your furniture because you're so poor, you have to make your food somehow, so you have to burn your furniture to cook your potato. If you're okay with that, then let's continue on this road to socialism, aka communism.